This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
With Paul McCartney is sponsored by Advantage Insurance, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, the Insurance Commission of the Bahamas, J.S. Johnson, NUA Insurance Agents and Brokers, Popeyes, Ron's Electric Motors, and Struckum Pest Control.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. Thanks so much for joining us. Today we're going to talk about the issues that were raised by the Constitutional Commissions about a republic, and we can talk about some other things too. The House of Assembly met briefly this morning. The Prime Minister spoke, Leader of the Opposition spoke about the Queen's passing. They broke for another couple of weeks. We saw that they were greeted by protesters outside the House of Assembly. I'm told that that's the Coalition of Independents protesting a citizenship bill that's being drafted. The issue is, again, nebulous to me, so I can't really help anybody with it. But they were out there protesting in pretty solid numbers. So that's what happened in the House today. Nothing major. All right. Monday, as you know, is going to be a holiday. Now, anyway. You know, I'll just say it. So yesterday there was a photo circulating on social media, WhatsApp, about a national holiday, a day of mourning for the Queen. And at least one MP apparently posted it, and people were filtering it around. When I started this conversation about becoming a republic, one of the things I said was that hopefully we will have a national discourse about what our country actually is, how it works. So I'm going to say, if you don't know what the Bahamas coat of arms looks like, maybe public office is not for you. If you don't understand that there's a blue marlin and a flamingo on our coat of arms, then maybe don't spend so much time on WhatsApp and social media. Maybe try to understand the framework of our actual Bahamas. Because I hear a lot of people complaining, and I won't lie, there's quite enough to complain about, but I also think that we should arm ourselves with some information, right? Before we start passing stuff around and shooting stuff out there, we should try to arm ourselves with basic information. Now, do I understand all the ramifications of everything that goes on while we're at it? Of course not. I, again, don't understand why the sharks are protected, but that's a different story. But we got to try to arm ourselves with some information if we're going to be doing this. All right? It's just common sense, right? Just plain old common sense. Anyway, so Perry Christie, when he became prime minister in 2002, he organized a committee to review the Constitution to try to understand what is it that is outdated, that no longer works for us, that possibly should change, and what they would recommend that should change, right? So they submitted a report, Options for Change, and when they submitted a report, they recommended that we do move to a republic, right? Now, and there are many, many other recommendations. Now, another constitutional committee was instituted when Perry Christie became prime minister the second time. Okay? And that committee did not recommend that we move to a republic. And what we wanted to do was kind of give the recommendations and understand what kind of undergirded these. Oh, by the way, we have the Bahamas Alzheimer's Association coming in at in the second hour. All right. And go from there. Now, the... Oh, yeah. I saw... Miyamotley addressing Congress. Big, big, big stuff. I'm hoping that what comes out of that is some legislation that helps us. She's addressing them about de-risking. And de-risking occurs when major financial institutions are in the Bahamas and doing business with the Bahamas. And then de-risking. And then we get put on a list, gray list, blacklist, watch list, whatever. We're subject to these AML, anti-terrorism, money laundering stuff. And the bank says, the financial institution says, rather than try to figure out how to mitigate all that risk, while you guys are getting all blacklisted and we got to try to figure out how to maneuver on that, we're just going to pull out. All right? Yeah, we enjoy the business, but it's not that lucrative, so we'll just pull out. All right? So de-risking is when banks eliminate risk. Financial institutions eliminate risk rather than try to mitigate risk. And it is an unfair practice. All right? And again, you've heard me say many times, don't expect life to be fair, but it is unfair because they're targeting mostly former colonies, mostly the descendants of slaves from these colonies. And we're trying to do business, but we're targeted. Yet places like Delaware, London, Luxembourg, all right, are not. And you don't want to walk around with your tinfoil hat on going, they're out to get us, but it feels like they're out to get us. So hopefully what happens is that the United States Congress, it should be pretty easy in the House since they, the Democrats who had this hearing, have control of the House for now. That may change in November. And the Senate is tied, but we do have Republican support. Particularly in the senators from Florida, Marco Rubio and Rick Scott. So what I'm hoping is that they deal with this de-risking issue to look at a mitigation plan for us, because there are things that are in the National Defense Authorization Act that governs these financial industries to protect U.S. Companies and the United States of America, and hopefully they'll change that or add us into the de-risking profile where they try to mitigate, they urge the companies to mitigate risk as opposed to straight up de-risking. And so we'll see. I understand they're trying to pass an amendment, so the House should be able to pass that, and hopefully the Senate can pass it. They would need to pass that in, the next 2 weeks for the start of the U.S. Budget year. The United States federal budget year starts October 1st. So, you know, they could pass that. That could go through the House and Senate. Uncle Joe could sign off on that. Ease up some pressure off us. That'd be great. All right. Just incredible. Because here's the thing, right? And I question whether that's part of the defense of the United States of America. But no... Well, I won't speak to everybody. There's some people who are way, 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 way out there on this one. No sensible congressman or senator wants to be seen not supporting the budget for the United States military. Now, we could talk about the budget for the United States military, which is probably, the next 15 to 20 countries combined don't spend as much on the United States military, but if you put it in that, it's likely to come through, and that would really be a game changer, to be honest, in a number of respects for us. Okay, all right. Sorry, we're talking about the constitutional commissions. Right. So the most recent one didn't support it, and the one before that did. Okay. So let me just pull up my stuff. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay. So. Oh, God, my computer's not working. It's moving super slow. It's loading. Bear with me. If you could see it, it would be better. Okay. Oh, for God's sake, it's not coming up, Ali. Now you do this to me. All right, fine. Let me see if I can get the thingam. The most recent one. This is the old one. Before we mastered computers. After 1999. Hold on a second. Bear with me. I plotted this out. Don't worry. Okay, here we go. Well, this is the latest one, not the first one. I'm going to go through it. Okay. And this is real heady stuff that... lawyers have pondered, and the committee headed by Sean McQueenie assessed. All right. And there are probably at least a dozen, 15 people on this committee, if I remember correctly. And we went there because they talked about the media, too. Okay, so Chapter 4 of the Constitution. Governor General as head of state says as a specific part of its mandate, the commission was asked to examine whether the Bahamas should evolve from a constitutional monarchy into a republic within the Commonwealth of Nations. While it cannot be said that there was any ringing endorsement for this change during the public meetings, the majority of the written submissions to the commission, which addressed the matter, supported the removal of the Queen as head of state and replacing her with an indigenous non-executive or ceremonial president as head of state under some form of parliamentary republic. At best, the views of the public were mixed. In many cases, there was general apathy or indifference, and the commission was constrained on many occasions to prompt contributors for their views on the subject. In fact, there were pockets of persons, particularly the older generations and Family Island residents, who remained staunchly in favor of retaining the monarchy, including, surprisingly, at least one of the participants in the 1972 Independence Constitutional Conferences. The traditional argument for the evolution to a Republican status is that it is a natural step toward completing the circle of independence and attaining full sovereignty, and that the retention of the British monarch is an historical anachronism, a hangover from the colonial era that formally ended in the Bahamas 40 years ago. Again, this was done 10 years ago. Almost 10 years ago. The original case for republicanism was made by the 1976 Wooding Commission of Trinidad and Tobago, which said that independence must involve the creation of indigenous symbols of nationhood. Among young people in particular, the British sovereign has no symbolic meaning. The thrust since independence has been toward the discovery of a new identity, which involves leaving behind the colonial heritage of subjection, imitation, and external dependence. Now, the Trinidad and Tobago was the first nation, British colony in the Caribbean, to gain independence or to move toward or to, yeah, get independence. I don't want to have the connotation that they were given it. They said, we want to be independent. The commission also noted the incongruity in the Governor General's oath, which required him to bear faithful and true allegiance to the Queen, as opposed to the recommended oath to faithfully serve the people of Trinidad and Tobago and defend and uphold the Constitution. The argument was put by one of the foremost supporters of republicanism and advocates of delinking from the Privy Council, late Professor Simeon McIntosh, as follows. The continuing presence of the Crown and its Judicial Committee in the post-independence Commonwealth Caribbean political order represents a vestigial incongruity, a contradiction in the constitutional symbolism of a politically independent sovereign order. The Judicial Committee they're speaking of is the Privy Council. By and large, the main reasons given by Bahamians for advocating the removal of the monarchy were ideological and did not go to any issues of governance. For example, one contributor indicated, as we approach 40 years of independence, it would seem appropriate that we no longer need to retain the British monarch as our head of state. We should gradually move away from the formal vestiges of our colonial past. Such a departure from this historical heritage need not be harsh or sudden. It can be used as a teaching tool for our citizens as we truly embrace our sovereignty, or what's left of it, in a globalized, interconnected, and interdependent world. Another contributor, in recommending the retention of the constitutional monarchy, noted that the present form of government is still workable, and that comparisons of the Republican model in the United States and the Caribbean indicated that there were more negatives associated with the former, and the latter tended to be more successful.
Okay.
Ironically, the most passionate appeal to retain the monarchy came from a young Bahamian student overseas who wrote an earnest letter to the commission at the 11th hour, which included, among others, the following reasons for retaining the monarchy. Boy, I'm not going to read all that. That's a lot. Says, of the 12 English-speaking countries in the Caribbean, 9 remain constitutional monarchies, with the British monarch as the head of state. Of the 3 exceptions, post-independence modifications to the Constitution of Guyana in 1970 and Trinidad and Tobago in 1976 led to the establishment of constitutional republics. The 1978 Dominican Constitution remains unique in the Caribbean as the only one to declare itself a republic when it achieved independence from the UK with an indigenous president as head of state. An important distinction is also to be made between the parliamentary republican system of Trinidad and Tobago, which largely substitutes a ceremonial president for the Queen and Governor General, and which has largely been successful, and mainly the executive president of Guyana, which hews more to the American presidential model and which has experienced much less success. It is also of note that of the 54 countries remaining within the Commonwealth, 33 are republics. Sorry, I said Trinidad had gotten the independence in 76. They went to a republic in 76. Apology. Says, it is also of note that of the 54 countries remaining within the Commonwealth, 33 are republics, 16 have the Queen as head of state, the realms, and 5 have their own monarch as head of state. Significantly more than half of the realms are within the Caribbean. The issue of removing the Queen as head of state and taking steps to complete a transition has been discussed and recommended by many recent constitutional commissions in the region, Jamaica in 91, St. Kitts and Nevis in 98, Barbados in 99, Antigua and Barbuda 2002, Bahamas 2006, Grenada 2009, and St. Vincent and the Grenadines 2009. The 1991 proposal to adopt a presidential model of government in Jamaica has received little political traction, however, and in Barbados, a referendum to decide the issue has been deferred on several occasions. Again, this was 10 years ago. You would have noted that Barbados has now become a republic, and Jamaica has done a lot of talking about it since Portia Simpson Miller had hosted Harry there. She was talking about it. Ain't nothing happened. She didn't do it. Golden didn't do it. Wholeness didn't do it. Wholeness still ain't did it, yet he's talking a lot about it. I'm like, why are we still talking? Like, I don't have a problem with talking, but you the chief, right? We just kicking around the idea here. You the man in charge. You need to go figure it out. That's why I don't understand why the prime minister said the people got to tell me that's what they want. I don't know why or what. Through what mechanism do the people tell you that that's what they want? Anyway. Excuse me. Says these contradictions, ambivalence, and conflicted ideologies in respect of the retention of the monarchy may be somewhat attributable to what has been described by the Barbadian writer George Lamming as the antagonistic weight of the past, the long association in history with the monarchy. But it seems also to be rooted in the apprehension and understandable fear of the future, with the operation of an unknown political system, and one more susceptible to failings. As was put by one of the constitutional framers, if we abolish the monarchy, what will happen after that? This approach to the monarchy was rationalized by one commissioner as follows: we are not quite happy where we are, but we are still somewhat afraid of the future. Indeed, it is noted that in the Trinidad experience, the public did not warm to the idea of republicanism until it was indicated that there would be no change in the political culture and that associations with the United Kingdom and the Commonwealth would remain. In fact, the people of Trinidad and Tobago, even while supporting a president for head of state, elected to retain the Judicial Committee of the Privy Council as the final court of appeal. And you, I'd say a sidebar, even if you note that Trinidad and Tobago is republic, their British traditions are much more obvious than there than they are here, I would say. I would say Jamaica, too. Like, when you look at sport, when you look at different observations of British traditions, they're more, even language, right? They're more present, I would think, or obvious in Trinidad and Tobago and Jamaica than they are here. The commission endorses all the ideological and symbolic reasons for a sovereign state, such as the Bahamas, to exercise full political and legal control over its head of state, and thinks that the advent of a republic is inevitable in the continuing quest for a full realization of our independence and sovereignty. But the commission does not pretend to make the case that seeking republican status is absolutely necessary at this time. In this view, the commission is assured that it has honored its terms of reference, in which required it to look at the question of whether the Bahamas should evolve, and did not put the question of an abrupt metamorphosis to republican status. In any event, having regard for the requirement that such a proposal have to pass both houses and obtain the special majority and obtain public support in a referendum, support for this change has to come from the will of the Bahamian people. I don't know what does that mean? Help me. Like, support for this change has to come from the will of the Bahamian people. I don't understand it. Like, how do you know if the Bahamian people support it? Unless you put it to a referendum. I mean, you could do polling and all that stuff like that, but that doesn't guarantee those people are going to come out and vote. Like, how do you know? Like, that seems like an easy way to keep kicking the can down the road. Well, the public's not crying out for it. We're crying out for lots of stuff y'all don't do. But this is what I got to hear from the public. Like, what louder cry is there from the public than the death penalty? I don't get it. It says, additionally, it should be borne in mind that changing from a constitutional monarchy to a republic is not merely ceremonial, and the tradition would involve considerable financial as well as administrative, social, and cultural costs. For example, in addition to any implications for the receipt of foreign UK financial aid and training assistance, it would involve, among others, changing of the royal insignia located on government buildings and post office boxes, rebranding the Royal Bahamas Defense Force and police forces and changes to their uniform, and changing the honor system. Well, we already changed the honor system. And again, I don't even know that I'm convinced about that, that if we go to Republic that we're going to suddenly be less able to access UK financial aid or training assistance. But we are certainly, because of the royal and the name, it makes the ability to go there seem much easier. All right. I'm almost done with this. Then we got to go to break. Well, there's a lot. I'm not going to be done with this. Anyway. I'll just do this part. At this time, the commission does not recommend any change in the office of the Governor General as a representative of the Queen ahead of state under a constitutional monarchy. It does recommend, however, that consideration should be given to planning for the eventual evolution to a parliamentary republican system with a non-executive president as head of state. The commission is of the view that this is the inevitable terminus of constitutional evolution to full sovereignty and independence, and the only issue is timing. In fact, we cannot allow ourselves the delusional luxury of assuming that the Queen or King of England will forever be available to be sovereign of the Bahamas or any of the other independent countries of which she is monarch. The monarchy will continue to wane either by process of attrition or possibly by constitutional changes from within the UK itself. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. So here's what I'm going to say, and then we're going to go to a break. Why do we have to follow a pattern of someone else in order to decide what type of government we're going to have? So we're talking about what didn't work in the United States as opposed to what kind of worked in Trinidad with a ceremonial president. Why does the president have to be ceremonial? Why can't we have a system that we devise of our own that makes sense for us and our particular needs? And you could look around you and say, well, this is what worked here and this is what worked there. But we know our needs are particular to us. For instance, we have an archipelago, which is, in fact, well, we have the most widespread archipelago in the Caribbean for certain. So our needs are different from the needs of others that would be on one general landmass, such as a Barbados. Barbados has a few islands on the outside, such as a Jamaica, right? Our needs are different. Our stuff works different. So why do we have to have a system that looks like anything else? Why can't we design our own system? Why does the president have to be ceremonial? Why can't we redraft how the cabinet works? Why can't we redraft how MPs are elected? Why can't the Senate be elected? Why can't we have the system we want of our own design? Is my thing. Why does it got to be? It got to look like this, or it got to look like this. So that's my question. We got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches. Fidelity, we're good for you.
Here we go. J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson.
Buying a home is one of the most important investment decisions you'll ever make, so it's best to insure your home for the full replacement value. If your home is underinsured, the condition of average could apply and reduce the amount you'll receive if you make a claim. Ask your insurance agent about underinsurance and condition of average before you purchase or renew your home insurance policy. For more information, visit www.icb.gov.bs. This message was brought to you by the Insurance Commission of the Bahamas.
You do coffee your way.
Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution. As I said, on the other side of the break, we'll be talking with the Alzheimer's Association for a few minutes, but we will continue our discussions. And I don't think there's anything wrong with having the says, good day, one. What's your thoughts on the protests at Parliament today with Lincoln Bain? Our PM hide from us. Why? It's thoughts about us Bahamians uniting for our rights. I don't really have any thoughts, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I know you want me to, but I don't even know what they're protesting. If you're telling me it's about a citizenship bill, then they must have seen some draft of it that they find objectionable, because I don't know. I can't have an opinion on something I haven't seen, read, heard. So I don't know. I don't know. If it is the if it is, and I don't want to say it is, if it is that they're protesting the idea, the thrust that the government wishes to grant citizenship more swiftly to people born and raised in the Bahamas, to foreign parents or people born in the Bahamas, to a Bahamian woman married to a foreign man, or a woman married to a foreigner who has children in the state. If that's the thrust, that it's going to speed that up and make that easier, then I support that. There's no question about it. All right? And there's really no argument you can proffer me that's going to change my mind, because we've been through this over and over and over and over again. And I don't understand why governments haven't acted before. Minnis, as lost as he was, missed a golden opportunity to deal with the last bill that Dame Anita Allen helped draft. And I understood they went back to her to do some different things, but I support giving citizenship in those instances as a matter of just process without question. All right. Says they were not just protesting about a bill, they were protesting about our rights as Bahamians being victimized in our own country, giving away our country to Haiti, seeing that we have a Haitian prime minister. Okay, well, that's, you've lost me now. This says we're crying out for FOIA, the death penalty, smoother roads. My suspension can't take much more. And reduce crime, one. Let them deal with those cries before taking on the new cries of a republic. This says, good day, I believe there's still status fever among politicians. They love the QC and OBE, et cetera, title, as well as the numerous trips to the UK, which would become obsolete through a republic. I think they love it, too. You know, I think they love it, too. Now, Davis has said that he's open for a republic anytime. I don't know that he's going to get a lot of support for that from many quarters of Bahamians who are like, we like it as it is. And mind you, if we don't change it, we don't change it, right? Just don't expect me to be this cheerleader for the monarchy, because all the things that the people say about the complicated history and that I've said about a legacy of stolen people, stolen treasure, all that's true, right? So I don't have any great love for the monarchy. Queen Elizabeth, she was cool, you know what I mean? But I don't have any love for the monarchy. Says, if you want to know what it's about, do your research as a social media news reporter, so you'll be 100% informed on what the bill is about and what we're fighting for. I mean, I must do my research. What is it about a bill that has not yet been released publicly that you have a problem with? What is it that you're protesting? I must do the research to find out what you protest in it? All right, that's people just say that when they don't actually have answers to give. Go do your research. What research? You tell me what it is that you find objectionable. You say it's we're giving the country away to Haitians. You know, okay, fair enough. That's an opinion. I don't know that that's substantiated in fact. That's how you feel, which I don't invalidate, but I don't know that that's substantiated in fact. And look, I'm a leader, man, right? So I've followed, I know how to follow, but you got to have the goods for me to come follow, right? I don't just follow because everybody going one way. I forge my own path, you know? All right, we got to go to a break. We'll be right back.
It's Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back to the revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. We may or may not have the Alzheimer's Association coming on. They told me it was today, but that may not be the case. and we'll see. All right, so we're talking about becoming a republic, and it's these conversations that you want to have, particularly when you meet a milestone like, all right, the queen's dead, so what is it that we're going to do? And also I'll go through what the... it appears the Congress is trying to pass, which would be really helpful, actually. In any event, let me see. It says the protesters are not just talking about the citizenship bill, but the proposed asylum bill, which is paramount to open borders. Is it? How's asylum paramount to open borders? Wouldn't they have the requirements outlined as to who could seek asylum and for what purpose? Doesn't seem like open borders is occurring anywhere else. They have asylum. You know, we already have asylum provisioned in this country. It's not like you can't come here and not get asylum, in fact, or claim refugee status. In fact, the Court of Appeal, I believe it was, or the Supreme Court, I believe it was the Court of Appeal, I have to double check, just recently had a guy from either Ghana or the Gambia who came here with information from the political party that said he was a political refugee, and he wanted to claim asylum, and immigration wouldn't allow him to do it. They kept him locked up. And this man sued and won. All right. So we gotta, you know, look at it. All right. So, let me do some of your text messages, and then we'll talk about, I want to introduce this other thing, too. And you're going to say, as usual to me, McCartney, I don't care. I want to talk meat and potatoes. I want to talk, you know, marital rape, etc., etc. But I think this can help. I may be misguided in my thoughts, but I think this can help. All right? So they're planning to introduce or have introduced a bill in the United States Congress. It's a draft of a bill that they plan to introduce, and they were discussing it today, and they had Mia Motley come and speak to the House of Representatives. The United States Congress consists of two parts. So the House of Representatives and the Senate. So this is, it's a bill to amend the William Thornberry National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 2021 to require the Secretary of the Treasury to consult with affected financial institutions and governments of the Caribbean region when developing the strategy on financial services de-risking required under that law. And so this act may be cited as the Caribbean Stakeholders Engagement Act. This says that Section 6215 C4, of the William Thornberry National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 2021 is amended by inserting, including affected financial institutions and governments of the Caribbean region, before shall develop. All right, so let's go look at Section 6215 of the National Defense Authorization Act. The National Defense Authorization Act funds the Department of Defense, which is the United States military, Pentagon, et cetera. So you can get an idea of, it's unclear to me how the United States actually, that it all is held together is amazing to me. this bill is 1,500 pages long. All right? This funds the Department of Defense, which I believe is the biggest budget item in the United States federal budget. I'm fairly certain that it is. If I'm wrong about that, please correct me. So this is part C4, okay? And again, I'll go to de-risking. All right. This says it's amended by inserting including affected financial institutions and governments of the Caribbean region. All right. So let's see if we can look at part C. Four here. It reads, so part C goes, review of de-risking. So you can understand what de-risking means. It says, do we have the Alzheimer's Association? Okay, good, one moment. So this says, definition, in this subsection, the term de-risking means actions taken by a financial institution to terminate, fail to initiate, or restrict a business relationship with a customer or a category of customers rather than manage the risk associated with that relationship consistent with risk-based supervisory or regulatory requirements due to drivers such as profitability, reputational risk, lower risk appetites of banks, regulatory burdens, or unclear expectations and sanctions regimes. All right? So this says, part four says, and there's a lot that comes before it, but part four includes the Caribbean. So part four, strategy on de-risking. Okay? Part C4, upon the completion of the review required under this subsection, the Secretary of the Treasury, in consultation with the federal functional regulators, state bank supervisors, state credit union supervisors, and the appropriate public and private sector stakeholders, including, and it would read, including affected financial institutions and governments of the Caribbean region, shall develop a strategy to reduce de-risking and adverse consequences related to de-risking. All right? So I don't see how that could be a bad thing. All right? By having the United States Committee on Financial Services and the Committee on Banking, Housing, and Urban Affairs or whatever, and the Secretary of the Treasury look at the Caribbean region as well and develop a strategy to reduce de-risking and adverse consequences related to de-risking. Again, a lot of you are saying, look, man, let's talk traffic lights. I'm saying this. I'm saying, if we better understand how the world works, we'll better understand how these larger concerns impact us on the ground here. All right? You have a lot of de-risking going on. You have a lot of issues with merchant bank relationships that are in jeopardy, our relationships, that could impact our way of life. All right, it's a very real thing, even though you may not consider it, because nobody's looking at the Bahamas and going, you know, we can't lose that money. Let's put a chance into the wind. And so these guys in these big huge banks are going, forget it, don't even. Financial institutions, don't worry about it. We want to de-risk. Let's be out. All right, and this allows us. And sometimes you gotta have people speak up for you. And so like Brave Davis is speaking up to the world on carbon credits. Mia Motley is speaking up to the United States Congress on de-risking, and I applaud her for doing so. We could use more of it. All right, let me do a couple of text messages, and we do have the Alzheimer's Association in the House, and so we're going to talk about that. Mm. It says, the bill may be an attempt to embrace the entire Caribbean community, effectively isolating the influence of the PRC in the Caribbean region. They seem to be targeting the amount of capital being invested. You mean China? Possibly. This says, you bring new meaning to United We Stand, Divided We Fall, Stand for Nothing, Fall for Everything. I mean, just because I don't stand for what you stand for. I mean, you can be serious, right? Because I don't stand for what you stand for, because I don't go to Parliament to stand behind you, and I don't even understand what it is you're standing for. You telling me you're standing for Bahamian rights. I stand for that, but that don't mean I stand with you. You got to explain yourself. All right? It ain't easy like that. I'm so sorry. Not with me. You got to substantiate what it is you're talking about. I'm all for Bahamian rights. I'm all for helping Bahamians. Your issue ain't don't necessarily make it my issue because you slap "is for Bahamians" on it, right? And you're just going to have to be comfortable with that, and you're going to be mad at me, and you're going to be disappointed in me, which I don't know, last time I was disappointed in another grown man. But I'm not just going to hop on no bandwagon just because you're talking loud, talking about Bahamians. I don't buy it like that. I've been in this a long time. I've heard a lot of people say a lot of things. You got to sit down and meticulously explain to me what it is you're talking about, and then we could talk. As far as being divided from your issue, I don't even know what your issue really is. I done heard that a million times. I'm standing for Bahamians. In fact, who among everyone in the political sphere in this entire country has ever said, "I don't stand for Bahamians"? Who among them? Who has ever said in the history of the modern Bahamas, go, "I don't support Bahamian rights. I don't support Bahamians doing better. I don't support"? Everyone says a lot of stuff. Every political party, every talking head talks about Bahamians, etc. I don't just co-sign, man. So you could send all the text messages you want, but I don't just jump on people's tip for fun, you know? Like, a lot of people want me to do it. Every time it's an issue, Derek rolled billions. Royal Bank somehow is hiding them. Juan, you don't stand for Derek. I don't know what you're talking about, right? It's always an issue. The pine forest. You don't stand for that one? I don't know what you're talking about. All right? All the aragonite that's being shipped into our country in secret and could make us all a million. You've not explained to me yet what it is you're talking about. Everybody, there's an old saying in the United States of America. It maybe came from here too. Everybody who is skin folk ain't kinfolk. Just because you rah-rah-rah about the Bahamas don't mean you really about Bahamians. All right? I done heard a lot of people talk a lot of times, all over and over and over. This one, standing for against gay men. You don't stand for that? You know, come on. Like, I don't do that. I don't bandwagon hop, period. So if you want to explain to me your issue and give me some cogent points about it, sure. But as far as being divided from you, you look like you have a lot of support going on out there. Mine's not automatic. And you ain't going to never see Juan McCartney on no march or protest again in life. That much I could guarantee. So tell me whoever said, which Bahamian politician said, "We're not for Bahamians." I've never, ever, ever heard that. Everyone always says, "We're about Bahamians." Everyone. Is it always the case? Not necessarily. But we're done with that dialogue. You don't have to send any more text messages. I appreciate you contributing, though, but you're going to have to strengthen your arguments and your causes other than you don't support Bahamians. It don't work like that with me. All right? We'll do a call, and then we'll talk to the Alzheimer's Association. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Juan. What about an opinion poll? Sometime ago, you used to have someone on. I can't pronounce his name right.
Imwale.
Yeah, you can do an opinion poll.
Yeah, for sure.
And then you can present it to your prime minister, who seems to be lost about what the people want. And that should be something, because if he doesn't act on it, then there'll be something that he's really stopping.
Listen to me. Listen, man. Mm-hmm. All right? You know, Brave and I are platinum, right? But we elected you to lead, okay? So some of these decisions you're going to have to make, because I didn't hear everybody crying out for a baseball stadium to get $30 million more poured into it. I didn't hear nobody crying for that. Maybe a couple of baseball people. I didn't hear nobody crying out for increased travel budget or beefed up media operation of the OPM. But these things happened, right? Because when you're in leadership, you decide. Okay? And so
he's not in leadership. This is the point.
We elected him to lead, so you are the leader of the nation. You have to say, as your leader, here's what I want to do, and we will pass it in the House if we get support, and then you put it to the people for referendum. That's it, not the other way around. Not we figure it out, then you bring it to the House, then you send it back to us again. It don't work like that. You got to figure it out. I don't hear a hole in this going, let me go canvass everybody before we move, or Mia Motley or any of these. They're going, this. We see our nation. I'm the leader of the nation. I see it going in this direction, and so we're moving it in that direction. Now, you say no, no problem, but leadership requires that you make these determinations, and then you put it to the people. That's how it works.
Thanks for taking my call, Juan.
All right. Thanks a lot. Yeah. So we're going to – I just don't buy that, and I wish I had the chance to speak to him and interview him and frame it to him in the context of if it's something that you want and you think it's best for the nation, then – you should introduce this conversation. Ingram did it with his referendum. Christie did it twice, right? And all of them failed. But now you know how the Bahamian people or those who are willing to come out and vote feel about it. All right? We're going to take a break, and I'm going to talk to the Alzheimer's Association for a bit. And then we'll be back, and we'll deal with your text messages. I think that I think this is a step, man. We're nowhere in the National Defense Authorization Act at the moment, so to put the Caribbean community in there, I think it's a good step. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Popeyes, we foster love in everything we do. And our signature sandwiches are no different. Stop on by and try our all-new Buffalo Ranch Chicken Sandwich. We have taken the chicken sandwich and kicked it up a notch. Taste our Louisiana Cajun seasoned chicken patty, served on a brioche bun with two pickles and drizzled with our all-new Buffalo Ranch sauce. Add a chocolate chip cookie on your order for only 90 cents. Stop by any Popeyes for your Buffalo Ranch Chicken Sandwich today.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem, just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Remember when Zoom was just a sound effect? When your living room wasn't your gym? When a cough didn't scare people away? That was the good old days. And thankfully, they are coming back. As things return to normal, remember it is essential to be fully immunized against all vaccine-preventable diseases like COVID-19, diphtheria, tetanus, measles, and influenza. This message is brought to you by PAHO WHO, the Ministry of Health and Wellness, the Caribbean Development Bank, the Government of Canada, and the United States of America.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
We'll be right back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We'll get to your text messages, etc., before the end of the show. But right now, we're speaking with the Bahamas Alzheimer's Association. We have Wendy Poitier, who's the president of the association, and Nadia Storr, who's in charge for fundraising. And they do have events that are coming up shortly. And it's great to have you here with us, both of you. I have spoken before about my experience, not with Alzheimer's, but with dementia, with my mom. And there's a lot of similarities that go along with what occurs.
Alzheimer's is a form of dementia.
Correct.
Yeah. And so it's just the progression,
yeah,
more at the later stage.
Mm-hmm. And I think that it's important that you guys have this organization, mm-hmm, because I was caught quite unaware of how bad this gets, mm-hmm, and how quickly it gets worse, mm-hmm, and just what is entailed in it. And you can find yourself, particularly if you don't have a support system, because I had no idea what was going on. Mm-hmm. And this happened to me when the pandemic hit. To my mom when the pandemic hit, right?
A lot of people think, one, that it's just old age. Mm-hmm. And if you just recently, you know, Alzheimer's, dementia has become a common name and topic. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people think it's just senile, or, you know, mm-hmm, my parent or my grandmother, my grandfather is just, they're over 70, so they're going to lose their mind.
Mm-hmm.
That may be true, but there's a diagnostic word for it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a disease, Alzheimer's dementia disease. Mm-hmm. And so over a period of time, the memory is going to decline. It's going to start with simple things as forgetting where they put stuff, accusing family members of moving their things, of not feeding them during the day. And if you're not aware and educated on the disease itself, you're going to think that your parent or your grandmother or your grandfather is telling the truth,
mm-hmm,
when you don't want to accuse them of lying, mm-hmm, but this is what is happening to them, and they cannot express what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then gradually you're going to see the progression of the disease move from just a simple forgetting of eating a meal or placing something to not remembering their own children,
mm-hmm,
to not knowing which home they're in.
Mm-hmm.
And then that becomes difficult on a family member. And so that's when the association, the Bahamas Alzheimer's Association, should kick in. You should find us, because we're on Facebook. We have social media handles.
Mm-hmm.
We are on WhatsApp, and, you know, we're very easy to locate.
Mm-hmm.
But look us up, because we have medical persons inside. We have persons like myself who have personal experiences that we are not medically diagnostic, but we've lived it,
mm-hmm,
like you have,
mm-hmm,
and like you said, you were in the wilderness with your mom,
right.
And so we could share stories, we could help each other, and we have a WhatsApp group, mm-hmm, where it's very friendly,
very,
and mm-hmm, persons join daily. We have a doctor, Indira Grimes, on, who's very helpful, and we
from the geriatrics hospital, yeah, she's there,
mm-hmm, yeah. So we, mm-hmm, we have, you know, we have a
and
strong
other
team.
Doctors as well,
yeah,
and social workers who are also part of the, mm-hmm, group, who, mm-hmm, assist. And again, I think, as Nadia has expressed, just having that personal experience, and I know it worked for me, so maybe this will work for you,
mm-hmm,
that type of thing. And it's good to have that support as well to ensure that, you know, whatever you are doing, hey, oh, I need a break, or I need to find out, what did I do? I'm, you know, frustrated.
Right.
Somebody else who is there, who's been through it.
Yeah.
So we're going to let you join the group as well, so we can,
yeah,
give,
absolutely,
you some assistance.
Yeah. No, I would, yeah, like, I would be happy to yeah, talk to people,
mm-hmm,
about it, because,
mm-hmm,
it's something that you, unless you go through it,
yeah,
it's hard,
yes,
to explain.
It is.
You know?
And,
so,
and people, there's a stigma attached to,
mm-hmm,
it,
mm-hmm,
and we want to break that stigma.
Right.
Because we want our family members to grow old peacefully,
mm-hmm,
and with their dignity intact.
Right.
And so we can't keep them shut up because they don't remember our names.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We remember them.
Mm-hmm.
And this is now time for us to take care of them.
Right.
And so I would encourage our listeners to take care of your family members.
Mm-hmm.
Love them up.
Mm.
Give them all the hugs and kisses that you can imagine. If you have younger children, take them around. Keep, mm, them around, because that brings joy to their hearts.
Yeah,
take,
absolutely,
them for drives. Take them for stuff that they used to enjoy, because that's still a part of them. They just don't remember every day what their name is mm-hmm. and what your name is.
Right.
But they still know what a hug feels like mm-hmm. and what that smile looks like.
Yeah.
So.
And I think that a part of it, too, is understanding the medical care aspect of it, because mm-hmm. sometimes the situation does devolve into where you have to actually become a caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. a lot of people are not equipped to deal with that or prepared mm-hmm. to deal with that.
Right.
You don't know. A lot of people have situations where their family members, but they have to go to work, mm-hmm. but you really can't leave them alone.
Right. You definitely cannot yeah. leave them alone.
Right.
So mm-hmm. you're going to have to get a... You're going to have to get help.
And yes. we have a new one.
There's a
new
care word? Partner.
A care partner
okay.
is the
right.
new word.
Great.
Terminology now, you know, to
caregiver.
To care, mm-hmm. yes.
And so it means
that
the same thing.
You're partneringship with,
mm-hmm. right.
with the individual. You're working with the person who needs care as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so that both of you are in partnership
right.
in ensuring that the best is available for the person who is the patient. And we sometimes we have to recognize as well that we know when persons are in the early stage of dementia, they're still able to function, they're mm-hmm. still able to do certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that point in time, we are encouraging persons, especially if they think something is happening, go to the doctor, get the diagnostic so that you can know for sure, so that you can plan for later on. Because
mm-hmm.
as we know, right now there is no cure. There is medication that can slow the progress, but we know there's no cure, so we know inevitably the deterioration will continue.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are able to plan your life, your family is able to plan, get your finances in order, get your estate in order, and know or to tell somebody, this is what I want to have happen to me when I am not able to make those decisions myself.
Mm-hmm.
This is why it is important for us, again, like we say, to break that stigma. There's, you know, it's something that's going to happen, but don't shut it out. Don't keep it in the background.
Right.
And that's one of the things that the Alzheimer's Association, Bahamas Alzheimer's Association, is all about.
Yeah, I think also important that people understand the breadth of what all occurs mm-hmm. In terms of... Mm-hmm. So there will come a point in time where you probably have to make legal decisions
yes.
on their behalf, and that's almost an impossibility, no matter what blood relation you are,
yeah. Yeah.
unless you get legal paperwork.
Exactly.
Because there's going to come a time where they're going to mm-hmm. stop speaking.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a time where their cognitive abilities are just going to fade. And let me just say that this disease is rapid progression.
Mm-hmm.
Today, they will know you. Tomorrow, mm-hmm. they will not.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I want to say is use some brain activities to keep the brain as mm-hmm. active as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Play games with them, puzzles, mm-hmm. have them listen to music, watch TV, nursery rhymes. Mm-hmm. Go back to your toddler days,
mm-hmm.
and that's what you have to do now with your parent or mm-hmm. your grandparent.
Right.
Just to keep the brain going.
Right.
Engage in conversations. At times they're going to be funny because the answers that they're going to give you.
Yes.
But it triggers their mind to go back and to answer you.
Mm-hmm.
You want to continue that conversation because there's going to be a day when that conversation is going to end. Mommy's just going to sit there. Daddy's just going to sit there, look at you and smile.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to get a response.
Right.
So eagerly engage that conversation for as long as you can.
Yeah.
Because it's going to fade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a great deal of patience
yes.
is also something that you have to exercise.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I still had young kids, you know? So I was.
Yeah, exactly.
And you have to treat it like that. Like they don't know what they're doing.
And again, that's one of the issues because you find now you're part of what we call the sandwich generation. You're taking care of your kids, plus you have to take care of your parents.
Correct.
And so it's difficult for persons who are carers.
Yeah.
And again, that is why the association is here to lend that support, to provide information, to provide education. This is why we're doing these fundraisers, mm-hmm. so that we can make sure that we have these facilities and these this information to provide the educational, webinars and, information to families
right.
so that they are able to live a better quality of life.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So tell me about the fundraisers that are coming up.
So on the 21st is World Alzheimer's Day,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to recognize that day with wearing our purple T-shirts
mm-hmm.
that we hope that corporate Bahamas will come in and support,
mm-hmm.
And the Bahamas at large. You may know someone that has Alzheimer's. You may have a family member or a friend of a family member. We just want you to reach out to us, support us in any way that you can. Our Fun Run Walk is September 24th,
mm-hmm.
and it's a short walk, but we are doing it to raise awareness for the disease. It's a package. We have our T-shirts. We have our flowers. After the walk, we're going to end at Rawson Square and plant our flowers in the garden in front of Rawson Square. So it's going to be awesome. Multiple colors because the flowers indicate, one, if you have a relative, if you're a caregiver, you know someone, if you have it. It's an honor garden, and you plant your flower there, and it's going to stay there for a couple of days while we observe World Alzheimer's in the month of September.
So when's the fun run walk?
That's September the 24th.
Oh, it's 24th. Okay.
Yeah, so that's
Arawaki,
next week Saturday.
Arawaki to Parliament Square.
No, that's easy.
Yeah.
So this is, again, like you said, fun.
Fun for awareness. Right. You carry your flower, you plant it, and we also have candles on sale. The honor, they're called the honor candle for those persons who may have gone on, those persons that are still with us. You have your purple candle you can keep at home.
That is for the 21st. Because on the 21st, we have the candlelight. But like I said, 21st is World Alzheimer's Day.
Right.
And that is when we celebrate and recognize with others around the world. Because it's not only here in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. This is something that's happening around the world. And we will have the memory candles there to honor those persons. So we will have that in Rawson Square. And so I'd say about 7 o'clock, we'll light our candles. We'll remember those persons who either have the disease, living with the disease, or their family members, or the persons who care for them.
Absolutely.
And so we have those for sale as well. And as well as we want that whole day, we want persons to wear their T-shirts, their purple T-shirts, or wear something purple.
Yes, to, on that day too.
To recognize
and to honor. To bring awareness.
Right. Well, I think it's an incredible thing that you guys are doing, and it takes a lot of energy and goodwill and positive vibes to be able to step up after dealing with the loss of a loved one to this disease and say, let me now help others. Because you do kind of feel like you're alone in the world and that no one else has really had this experience. And finding other people who have had the experience or are going through the experience, it really helps. And the thrust I felt was like, hopefully I can help someone.
Right.
This also leads me into the whole idea of what one of the other aims of the organization is to work toward the National Dementia Plan. We want our government, our leaders, to put this plan in place. This was something that was initiated by the World Health Organization, that every country who was signed on, and the Bahamas is one of those countries that are signed on, to develop this National Dementia Plan, which will put things in place because we know we have an aging population. We know that this is something that is going to happen. The percentage now of persons who are over 60 is growing larger than those who are under 20. Mm-hmm. And so we need to put these things in place, and we need to have the National Dementia Plan, which will promote the understanding of dementia as a major health and social challenge, and to optimize the use of available resources to improve and coordinate diagnosis and care and treatment, and one of the big things, of course, to reduce the stigma and the social isolation. Mm-hmm. So we want to have this national dementia. We're trying to encourage our leaders, our political leaders, our health leaders, all of those persons we signed on to this convention at the World Health Organization. Now, let's go ahead. Let's put it in place. Mm-hmm. This is what we're trying to do, so if we can get that off the ground.
Absolutely. So tell us how people can reach out to you guys, contact you guys.
Okay, we have our phone number is 242-828-6774.
And we're also online, BahamasAlzheimer'sAssociation.org and info@BahamasAlzheimer'sAssociation.com.
Excellent. All right.
And, of course, our Facebook page, you can leave us a message there, just the Bahamas Alzheimer's Association.
Okay, so they can look and see what events are going up and out and all sorts of stuff and how to help.
Yes, we have that
absolutely.
As well.
I also want to say, one, that we have a night of jazz, 50 Shades of Purple, coming up the end of October. It's going to be a masquerade, sorry.
Okay.
So our tickets are about to come out in another week or two. So we just want the public to prepare
for
that.
Yeah.
It's 50 Shades of Purple, and it promises to be a good night of dancing and jazz. So look out for the Bahamas Alzheimer's Association.
No, excellent. Nine I certainly jazz. Will support it, and I'll take T-shirts from me and my family. So,
yeah.
Definitely, and I'll try to make the fun run as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had the I spoke to you guys. Was it last year?
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And
we were here last year.
You were doing the Remembrance Garden.
That's to say,
and I've
been doing it
the
again.
Flower.
Yes.
And I kept saying I'm going to go put the flower down. And then when I finally went, I went to the Central Bank. And
yes,
like, no,
it was.
They moved it. They moved it to Rawson Square. Yeah. And then I went to Rawson Square and it was gone. I was like, boy. So I took the flower and I put it in the grave. So,
yeah. you have the opportunity now to do it again.
I want to make it.
And you get a new flower.
Right, yeah. Correct, yeah.
And we hope, you know, the Guardian will partner with us.
We'd
and make that
to.
Day a memorable one for you and awareness.
Absolutely. We'd be happy to.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. You guys, I'm happy to help in any way I can, and I'm thankful that you guys are doing this. So
thanks.
You need people like you who are willing to extend this sort of grace out into the world. All right?
Thank you.
So
thank
Nadia
you.
Storr and Wendy Poitier, you can contact them at 828-6774. Bahamas Alzheimer's Association.org.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also check them out on Facebook and you can leave a message there. Mm-hmm. All right. So I encourage you guys, if you are experiencing anything like this or think you might have a loved one who's going through this, mm-hmm. then please reach out. It can be a very isolating experience, and the more help you can get, the better.
I would be remiss if we don't recognize some of our sponsors.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Benchmark Company Limited
Excellent.
Is our platinum sponsor.
Great.
Island Healthcare. And J.S. Johnson Insurance.
Excellent.
And, you know, we still have availability for more sponsors to come on board.
Yeah, well, I'd encourage people to do so.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Well, yes. Thanks so much. We're going to take a break. Reach out to the Bahamas Alzheimer's Association, and please do what you can. And if you need help, please ask for help. There's, like I said, a stigma attached to it, but it's not something that is anyone's fault. It's just something that's occurring.
Right.
All right? Okay,
right.
Thanks so much. We're going to go to a break. We'll
Thank
right
you
back.
For having us.
All right, excellent.
Double shot decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Opa! Burger King Nassau is bringing you the fresh Greek flavors you love done the BK way. Come and enjoy the new Greek Whopper with a delicious combination of tzatziki sauce, feta cheese, red onions, and refreshing cucumber on our signature flame-grilled patty. Or go Greek with a plant-based Whopper or crispy chicken sandwich. All three delicious sandwiches are topped off with lettuce and tomato and made the Burger King way. Bring your friends and experience the Greek Whopper lineup at BK Nassau, where taste is king.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 6.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We were just talking with the Bahamas Alzheimer's Association. And, you know, one day I'd like to really do an entire show where people come and share their communal experiences about this stuff. Not to have a pity party, but to know that other people go through the same thing, right? So, you know, when like someone gets cancer, they have the support group and there's cancer support, so everyone can have like experiences. I think a lot with like Alzheimer's, dementia, people kind of are embarrassed by it because, like they said, there's a stigma attached to it and it impacts your family members so deeply. There's a million different things to chop up, and you'll be October 4th. I'll make 2 years since my mom died. And I still go over it in my head over and over and over again, right? And I tell you, like, well, let it go. It's not so simple, right? You don't want to let go of all of it. There's, to me, I'd rather have all of it. I know some people are like, I want to forget, you know, I don't want to remember. I'd rather have all of it and be able to say, you know what, this was all of it. And I got to figure out how I feel about all of it, right? How I feel about all of it with them, how I feel about all of it with myself. Like, you're all intertwined in this, right? So you got to, I'd rather have all of it and understand. So but don't keep it to yourself. Share it with people. All right? And you'll find out a lot about yourself, too. All right, so we got a few text messages that we're going to go through. We only have a couple minutes left. I think the de-risking thing is going to be a good thing. I think it's a great opportunity. Okay? It says, hi, Juan, great show. My mom was diagnosed almost a year and now rapidly declining. It's so heartbreaking and frightening. Yeah, and that's, you know, that's why I want to have a show about it. Unless you've been through it, you don't understand it, right? And then you have a lot of people who are afraid of it, right? And they want to abandon the person and say, but I would never do that, you know? Not me. I can't speak for other people. But it's very frightening, all right? And it's very... And you'll find yourself being short of patience. You're like, well, what happened? Just a month ago, you could do this. You could... yada, 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 and now it's wrong. You know what I mean? And you gotta work out that you're not perfect either. And you may react poorly to some things, but it's not because you don't love the person. It's just because you're not equipped with how to deal with it, and you're working through it yourself while they're working through it. And you're like, they're in the midst of this thing where I imagine it to be, I'm sorry, I'll get back to your text message. I want to speak on it for a moment. I mean, only a few minutes left. Because I imagine what my mother went through, right? And so I imagine my mother lived by herself after I got married. I would go visit her every day, talk to her every day for certain. And what I imagine it's like is like she would walk through a house and she would walk through the yard. And so I imagine that one day she found that she couldn't go outside her house. And the yard where she was had a green thumb, grew all these plants and everything like that. She could only look outside at the yard, but couldn't actually go in the yard to work, right? So she's losing part of something that was her. And she's alone in this house. And then she turns the light off in a room. The lights go off in a room. And she can no longer go in that room. And that was part of her life too, and now that's gone dark. And the lights continue to go off until the lights go off in the kitchen and the stove doesn't work and she can't go in the kitchen anymore. And she loved to cook so much, but now that's gone. And she can't go in the bedrooms where her children grew up. And then she's isolated to her bedroom and everything else has gone dark and she can no longer see outside. And she just loved watching the TV and everything like that and Netflix and different things. And now she can't do that. And she's in bed. And she's by herself and everything's going dimmer and dimmer and dimmer around her. And all the parts of her life that she knew for 75 years are fading away. And so you can't imagine how incredibly frightened they must be. So any action, anything they say, anything they do is born out of that sense of losing everything. And so you got to try to understand it, and you got to try to forgive yourself when you're not as gracious as you think you might be inside. So, says, you do a great job. Thank you. So that's how I imagine it, and I still wouldn't want to go through it and not do it, right? The pieces of your life that you were able to cling to and recall and pull down so quickly, they're slipping away from you, and it's horrifying. All right. This says, Motley was powerful and impressive today before Maxine Waters and the U.S.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think there's any downside or neutrality or ambivalence to have the Caribbean region included in the consideration of reducing de-risking by the Secretary of the Treasury in the National Defense Authorization Act. I can't possibly see a downside. I think that's great. And Maxine Waters, you know, has a lot of ties to the Bahamas. She's always here. Her husband was ambassador. So I think it's a benefit to us. All right? Very much so. And I think it's something that we should be celebrated and anticipating very greatly, and I'm hoping that gets included and passed before the budget process closes. All right. So it says, your days are, so shall be your strength. Be Deuteronomy 33:25. Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, we got to go. I can't argue with you guys about standing up for Bahamians anymore. We'll be back tomorrow if the Lord keeps us. So... And we can argue some more then over whether I support people protesting when I don't understand what they're protesting about, really, for certain. All right? Well, Trivago Lang is up next. And public, you know, to me, I'm fine with keeping it as it were. I am of the mind to tear down the symbols. I would like us to go toward a republic and determine our own destiny. But, you know... I don't know that it's necessary for us to have a better country. All right? It's more of a identity thing, which is fine. All right, we got to go. And you guys take care out there and have a great day, Bahamas.
With Paul McCartney is sponsored by Advantage Insurance, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, the Insurance Commission of the Bahamas, J.S. Johnson, MUA Insurance Agents and Brokers, Popeyes, Bronze Electric Motors, and Struckum Pest Control.